Good morning, family, brothers and sisters of the household of God. Good to see each of you here this morning to worship God again in the songs and the thoughts and the devotions and Sunday school. Truly, God is a great God. We look at the marvelous things He has done all down through time. Is He still the same God today? Wanting to accomplish marvelous things for His kingdom. And we trust and we know that He is. And yet, as we studied, we see it was some of the most difficult, darkest experiences that manifest that. And I don't know where you are in your life today, but I don't like those times in my life. And I want to run from them, but to again bow before God, accept Him as our Creator for His plan, His will, His purposes. Say, God, whatever You want with my life, I want to enter into that with You. I want to be with You for eternity. Let's go ahead and read these two verses here in Isaiah 55. Didn't read them every night, but I want to again this morning together. Isaiah 55. Verses 6, 7, well, we'll read a couple more this morning. We'll go down to verse 9. Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. Altogether, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so just again, to meditate here at the outstart, it says, seek God while He may be found, while He is near. God gives a picture here that God is not always near. We do not have to allow God to speak and touch our hearts. We can rebel against Him. We can push the Spirit of God away and become hard-hearted and refusing to hear. And so again, to let God draw near, to allow Him to expose, what does He say? Our wickedness, our unrighteous thoughts, and to turn away from those things and to ask God for His mercy, forgiveness, because God wants to have mercy. God wants to just pardon, right? He says abundantly pardon. God wants to abundantly pardon you and me this morning. Let's go ahead and sing our theme song. Skipped it last night and a couple people, why did you skip it? We enjoy singing that. So we'll sing it again this morning. We get to sing it twice today. Born to serve the Lord. Go ahead.
Ooh, from the dust of the earth, my God created man. For I was born to
Trust that's your testimony and commitment this morning. We are alive and created in the image of God to serve God, to read His Word, to bless our neighbor. And this morning, for a sermon title, I've entitled it Families for the Kingdom. Families for the Kingdom, a message on the home this morning. And as I sat here and listened to the Sunday school lesson, I feel like I'm repeating a lot of what you all brought out in the Sunday school lesson. And I trust that's God, again, moving that way this morning. And so I'm again going to start out with a few paragraphs here about revival that this brother had shared with me a couple weeks back by R.H. Revival in the home. Thousands of years ago, in the most beautiful garden the world has ever known, lived a man and a woman. Man formed in the image and glory of his Creator, and woman being the glory of man, lived solely to reveal him to his creation and to each other, and thus to glorify him every moment of the day. Humbly, they accepted the position of a creature with the Creator, that of complete submission and yieldedness to His will, because they always submitted their wills to His, because they lived for Him and not for themselves. They were also completely offering themselves to each other. Thus, in that first home, in that beautiful garden, there was absolute peace, love, and oneness, not only with God, but with each other. It's hard for us to step back and actually visualize that, because all we know is brokenness. All we know is the heartache of the curse. I'll keep reading. Then one day, the harmony was shattered, for the serpent stole into that God-centered home, and with him sin. And now, because they had lost their peace and fellowship with God, they lost it with each other. No longer did they live for God. They each lived for themselves. They were each their own gods now, and because they no longer lived for God, they no longer lived for each other. Instead of peace, harmony, love, and oneness, there was now discord and hate. In other words, sin. And so revival begins in the home. It was into the home that sin first came. It is in the home that we sin more than perhaps anywhere else. And it is to the home that revival first needs to come. Revival is desperately needed in the church, but a revived church with unrevived homes would be sheer hypocrisy. It is the hardest placed, the most costly, but the most necessary place to begin. Before we go on, let us remind ourselves again of what revival really is. It simply means new life in hearts where the spiritual life has ebbed, but not a new life of self-effort or self-initiated activity. It is not man's life, but God's life, the life of Jesus filling us and flowing through us. That life is manifested in fellowship and oneness with those with whom we live, nothing between us and God, and nothing between us and others. The home is the place before all others where this should be experienced. How different is the experience of so many of us professing Christians in our homes, little irritations, frayed tempers, selfishness, and resentments. And even when there is nothing very definitely wrong between us, just not that complete oneness and fellowship that ought to characterize Christians living together. All the things that come between us and others come between us and God, and spoil our fellowship with Him, so that our hearts are not overflowing with the divine life. And so the question comes to us, how are my close relationships going? Am I choosing to walk in brokenness, choosing to lay down myself, what I want, the things that are important to me, and saying, God, what's important to you? And choosing to infuse peace and joy into my relationships, even when I don't feel like it. Even when the weight and the burden of the day is bearing down upon me. God, help us. Even in the burden and the weight of the day, to seek Him, to allow these difficulties, the result of the curse upon us, to drive us back to Him rather than stray further and further away. And so I was just thinking about, as we think about God, the new covenant, what are things that we call the doctrines that God wants us to walk in? I'll get you started. One we might say is non-resistance. We know Jesus said, resist not evil. Are we supposed to turn away from unrighteousness? How do we resist not evil? And we had that question in Sunday school about, and I wanted to have more time to talk about it. We'll have to talk about it after church, now that we have fellowship meal today. But is it okay to use an untruth to protect people, to protect life? Good question to think about, because we have examples of people that did that. We have examples of that even in the Old Testament, right? Think about even this, we talked about Joshua and the spies, and Rahab said, they went the other way. But I think about the New Covenant. Are there any times in the New Covenant people did that? In the Bible, in the scriptures that we have. Anyway, that's something to think and talk about after church. But so we have this thing of non-resistance where we understand God is the authority, God is the judge. We let this to Him rather than taking it into our own hands. And we lay down our lives. We do not take up the sword, the spear, the gun, and the destruction of human life, because all human life is created in the image of God. And God's goal is that all mankind across the world would find repentance and relationship with Him. And if we take man's life, we eliminate that opportunity. What are other doctrines, as we call them, that God wants us to walk in? All right, just the doctrine of love. And that branches out into all these different ways. Non-resistance, just that heart of appreciation, compassion.
Newness of life.
Newness of life.
Right along with that, separation.
All right, separation. Separation from what? What are we to be separated from? And two. The what?
Unto God.
All right. Separation unto God. And it's important that we keep that clear in our minds. We are a called out people living our lives completely for God. So we are separated unto God. And it affects the words we say, the way we dress, the way we appear in our communities. We understand it impacts them. But we're not separate solely for the plain sake of being separate. There's a reason and a calling and a purpose. Another one I thought of is holy matrimony. In our marriages, God has established a specific role and plan and function for marriage. The world says it doesn't matter. And even many churches today say it doesn't matter. You don't really have to take God seriously about one husband, one man, one woman for life. If it gets a little rocky, gets a little difficult, you can prove your spouse was unfaithful in some way, you can hang it up. That's not what God teaches. That's not what God has taught us. Not what Jesus has taught us. And there's another whole thing about man interacting with God and Moses and the law, and God saying, Jesus telling us that because of Moses interacting with God, we talked about intercession, God allowed a measure of that divorce and remarriage under the law, but he said, that was never my plan when I created man that it would be this way. And so under my new covenant with you in Christ, it will be one man and one woman for life. We'll stop with that for now. We'll run out of time. But in the essence, in my youth, I saw all these things as separate things that we needed to do. So we don't go to war. That's one thing we do or don't do. We stay committed to faithfulness in marriage. That's one thing we do. We love our neighbor. That's a separate thing we do. But as I've thought about these things, what is the core? What is the thing that ties all these things together? What is the essence behind all these things that God is teaching us that we have to enter into? Christ, and his call is brokenness. And you think about these. To preserve my own life is natural. To give that up is brokenness for Christ. To think about being separated unto God. The reason I don't want to be is because I want myself. I want my way. The reason I would give up in my marriage vows is because of me. I don't think my wife is treating me right. And so I see the call, the theme, the purpose of being completely broken and surrendered at the foot of the cross. That's the call of Christ in the New Testament, in all of these different doctrines, these points, these points, as we single them out and discuss them in different ways, they all come directly back to a life of complete surrender and giving of myself. Accepting God as the creator of my life. God, I am yours. I do not get to call the shots. I do not get to decide how this is to all work out. So my first main point is to accept my God-established role. Accept my God-established role. How many of you here this morning chose when, where you would be born? How many of you chose how you would look? How many of you chose the circumstances that you would face as you were born into life? None of us did. None of us had a choice in any of those things. God chose those things. And I had to think about Moses there in Exodus chapter 4. It'll be coming up in our Sunday school lesson. Exodus 4. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You ever feel that way? God, you're calling me to something I cannot do. I'm not able to fulfill this calling. It's greater than me. Moses was there. God, I cannot lead this people. I cannot go talk to Pharaoh. This is too difficult. This is too painful. Too hard. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And so Moses came right up against God. And God said, I have made every person in this world specifically the way they are for the purpose for which I have created them. Trust me. Live for me. Do what I ask you to do. And so God chose to create me the way he created me and calls us to accept that, to walk in that. The strengths and the infirmities he has blessed me with. He has blessed you with. God specifically created you that way. And so as men, God calls you to be compassionate leaders. Compassionate leaders. In your home, in your work, in your church, in your community. Taking time to invest in relationships with your wife and children. To actually know their hearts and desires. Men in the home, leadership is actually the greatest responsibility to serve. We think about Jesus being our leader and the example he gave us as the greatest servant of all. That's the call. Do you use your leadership as a way to boost your own ego, to serve yourself? Or do you see it as the opportunity to serve in your community, to serve your wife and children, your family? And women, God has called you to respect the leadership where you find yourself, to love your husbands, to find joy in serving them and serving your family, to openly communicate about your wishes and desires, and yet at the same time to be surrendered to God and his call for your life, to bear children, to guide the house, to teach children the love and surrender and commitment to God as you walk this out day by day in your life. And children, God has brought you into your homes, into your families, and he's told us you are to obey your parents, to value them highly for who they are and what they have done for you. God chose the home he's placed you in. He's created the opportunities, the problems, the difficulties he's allowed there to mold your character, to shape you, to be used by him, for him, in building his kingdom. And so we are all called together as the family of God to study his word, to grow together in the knowledge and plan that he has for us in the family of God. And that's why we're here again this morning, studying, learning, growing, just as Jesus came and had to grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. You and I are no exception. We too are placed with that opportunity to grow or to reject. And I know, I remember in my earlier teenage years into my young adult years, specifically asking God to not be called into the ministry. Because I saw my father involved in the ministry all of my life, and I saw the difficulty, the challenges, the stress that brought upon him. And I did not want that for my life. I wanted to be free. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And there came a time in my life where God's Spirit worked within my heart, and I had to repent of that. And I had to say, God, I'm yours. For whatever you have for my life, I'm willing to enter into your will and your plan, and that my life is to be lived for God, not for myself. And so my second point is we must have purpose that passes present pleasures. We must have purpose that passes present pleasures. and choose to see that where I am is specifically where God has chosen me to be, and to be content in that. And Paul says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment in our lot in life, who God has created and chosen us to be. And we choose by faith to see God has given us exceeding great and precious promises to all of us that take up our cross and brokenness and surrender and walk in the things he's outlined to us. And we have those verses in Peter, where God has given us his divine power, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so, to be real, we understand the world is tempting and drawing us away from the purpose that we have in God, and seeking us for us to just live for ourselves, just to live and do what makes sense to me. And so, my third point is we must keep a clear vision of the kingdom of God. We must keep a clear vision of the kingdom of God, and that God is seeking children and a family for himself. That is the whole reason and purpose God created this vast universe. And out of everything he's created, from the greatest expanse in the starry heavens down to the smallest detail, there's so many fascinating things. God is looking for a soul to love him, to praise him, to bow before him, to worship him, to marvel in his salvation, his redemption, his amazing plan, that we could turn away from him and yet find restoration and wholeness. So God is seeking children for his kingdom. And today, whether you are married or single, you have the opportunity to reach out and draw children into the kingdom of heaven. No one is exempt from this opportunity. And yet today, if God has granted you marriage, you have a special calling to bear children into this world for the kingdom of God. You have a responsibility to seek God. It is 12 times in Genesis God said, be fruitful and multiply. Do we know what God wants us to do? And I know there's a host of difficulties that surround these things, and sometimes God doesn't allow us to have children, and this path is difficult. But this is something we need to have a clear vision on, and we need to seek God and make God a part of our lives and what he wants, not just what I want. So marriage is a gift. It's an opportunity to bring souls into the kingdom of God. The world doesn't see it this way. It's rather a huge expense, and they get in our way. And I did not get to tell Dad, God, grant me a child with a personality that agrees with me. We don't get to decide that. So God sends us tests and challenges, and he wants to grow us, and he wants us learn him through the children he brings into our families. And it's such a challenge because in our everyday lives, when people grate against us, we have the opportunity to avoid them, right? And to actually choose not to avoid people just because they grate on me, but rather to embrace them as being created in the image of God. And they have a soul, and I have an opportunity to take this young child, even though his ways frustrate me, and he may not even be my child, I have the opportunity to interact with him and to show him the love of God and to call him to live for God with his life, maybe as a teacher in school. You have a special opportunity in that. But all of us have that opportunity. And so my fourth point having children and serving them, receives great rewards in heaven. And so maybe condense that, just in serving children receives great rewards in heaven. Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come unto me." There in Mark 10, the disciples said, "No, keep the children away. They're in the way of your ministry." Jesus told the parents to keep their children at bay. They said, "Tell them to be quiet. They're making too much noise." What did Jesus say? "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Do you reach out to children every opportunity you get? Take them up into your arms to comfort, to bless them. That's the call of God upon us, to live in brokenness and surrender to his plan. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." The opportunity you have to serve your children is an opportunity to serve Jesus and to give them a cup of water. How many times did your children ask you for a drink, moms? And as you do that, because you are living your life for Jesus, you are choosing to be broken and surrendered to God. He says, there will be a reward. There will be a blessing. God forgive us. We lose sight of that so quickly in our selfishness. And so my fifth point, teaching children to serve God and others is of highest priority. And it's something I've wrestled with as God has blessed us with children. How do you go from serving children to teaching them the mindset their job is to serve other children, to serve other people? Because it's so easy to think that, well, my parents serve me. It's the job of the world to serve me. And so, taking times, especially as parents, to teach our children to serve other people, to serve the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom values run completely upside down of Satan's values. And we had that up here on the board. The character and ways of God, and the opposite of that in Satan. In the kingdom of heaven, the least is the greatest. It's okay to be a nobody. It's okay to watch other people excel past what I'm able to do. Those who have served others the most willingly because of following Jesus evidently receive more opportunity to serve in heaven. That's another whole sermon in itself. Maybe I can assign one of these brothers here to study that and preach that. But fulfillment, as we learn to be broken, to give of ourselves, and we choose to bless and serve and help other people, there's a fulfillment, a fullness to life that we do not receive when we are just living for ourselves and what I can achieve for myself. And as I am broken before God and serving him, it appears the talent is taken from him that had one and buried it and chose not to use it to bless other people, and given to him that used what he had, and his life becomes richer and fuller because he chose to bless and serve. And how do we help our children? How do we embrace that ourselves and help our children to embrace that as well? And just thinking about John the Baptist. He was a great man to herald the coming of God on earth. And yet Jesus said, Matthew 11:11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus' very words. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And Paul said, if you find God being a slave, being bound, continue to serve God being bound, because there is a purpose and a reward and a blessing for eternity that you will receive whenever you are completely broken and surrendered for God and what he created you for. And so my last point is, involve your family in practical kingdom service activities. Involve your family in these opportunities. We have them before us. Bringing them to church. Singing at old people's homes. Taking them to visit the neighbor. To encourage them. Cottage meetings. Maybe just cutting grass for a sick neighbor or an elderly neighbor. A way to serve. Taking a meal to someone that you know is sick or shut in. There are so many practical ways as we embrace servanthood that God can lead and direct us. Turn over to Matthew 25 here in closing. Jesus talked about this. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. A heart of service. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And he goes on to say, inasmuch as you did it not, you did not serve me. And verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so my burden is this morning, ask God, ask, seek and knock, to see and know the opportunities that he has placed before you. He's placed opportunities before each and every one of us to do these very things. And if we live in our pride and self-centeredness and selfishness, we'll miss them. And I've been guilty of missing them. But to ask him to show, to impress upon us by his Spirit, that we would see and understand this is an opportunity to do this very thing to the poor, sick, and needy, whether it's in our own family or whether it's in the community. God gives us these opportunities, ways to reach out. And so let's be faithful to enter into the reason and the purpose for which God has created and put us here in Altoona in 2024 to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, it is with gratefulness that we again are gathered here this morning, grateful for your great love, grateful for your coming down to earth to show us this path of brokenness, showing us how much we need a Redeemer, a Savior. And Father, forgive us where we have taken the path of selfishness and carnality. and have determined to have our way rather than your way. And Father, give us a burden and a vision for a family of God, a family of love, of openness, of sharing, of oneness in you, and of purpose to love and serve each other. Father, help us as parents to teach our children to serve each other, to serve their friends, to serve in their community. Father, first of all, help us to embrace this in our own lives, to serve our husband, to serve our wife, to serve our children, because we are living for you. So, Father, we ask that you would again speak to us by your Spirit this week, to convict us where we are living selfishly, where we let anger, resentment, to spill out of our hearts, and to repent of that, and instead to embrace love, brokenness, forgiveness. And so we ask that you would again bless our fellowship here this afternoon. May we build each other up in our faith and our continued pursuit of you. In Jesus' name, amen.